This week's Sedra, Parshas Noach. Of course, beginning with the Parsha, you have Noach building his teva, where he's going to bring in all the animals and himself and his family to be saved from the flood. So Rashi asked the following question. Harbei revach v'atzala lefanav. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has all kinds of ways of saving a person. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother Noah in making this huge ark, as we'll see, for 120 years, building this huge boat? Why did he do it? Hashem could have saved Noah a much simpler, easier way than having him build this teva. So Rashi answers the question, Kadeshi Yeru Anshei Ador Mabul Osekpa. Kuf Kaf Shana, so that the people of his generation will watch him day in, day out for 120 years build this teva. Visholim also mazos lecha. They're going to ask him, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you? And he's going to answer, V'omer lehem, Atira Kodesh Baruch Hu l'avi mabu la'olam v'la yashivu. And then he's going to answer him, because Hashem's going to bring him mabu. And hopefully they'll take the hint and they'll do tshuva from their bad ways. That's Rashi's answer to the question. The Be'er Ma'im Chaim gives a different answer to this question of why Hashem commanded Noach to make an ark, if he could have saved him in easier ways. And he says that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with man, mida keneged mida, or in other words, find expression, b'derech shadam moded ba modedim lo, that Hashem answers a person, reflects the person the way he acts. If a person acts in a certain way, he puts in a tremendous effort. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, look, you're putting a lot of effort to serve me, so I'm going to put a lot of effort to help you, etc. And therefore, if a person puts a tremendous amount of effort, and he even goes beyond the, you know, his call of duty, and perhaps even beyond nature, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in return, is going to save him and help him and do his utmost, mida keneged mida, to save him and help him above nature. So therefore, Noach, he was faced, as the Chazal tell us, the Rishayim of his generation, they wanted to kill him, right? When he was going to go into the Teva, said they came at him with axes to kill him, literally. So he had to be safe from these people. He had to be safe from all the wild animals, and before the Teva, on the Teva. So Noach needed a lot of siyata d'shmaya. So Hashem said, look, I know in order for Noach to be zoicha, to merit the siyata d'shmaya, he has to do something. He has to put in extra human effort. So therefore, he made him build this teva, according to the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, to put in this extra human effort in building this teva of 120 years. And in that, with that, it'll be zoicha to Hashem will answer him similarly, and save him and help him against Rishayim, his generation, against the animals, etc. That's what he said. So this applies not only, you know, to Noah, but applies to everyone. When it comes to mitzvahs, etc., we have to put in our utmost, and then with the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us back in that same way. Rav Zilberstein, he brings an example of this. He says that once a person came to him, and he said, Rebbe, I have a problem on my hands. He says, I have this this house, and it's a great house in wonderful shape. It's in a wonderful neighborhood. Everything's perfect. The only thing is, I can't sell it. It's been on the market for a long, long time, and I can't sell the house. I don't know what's going on. And as a result, I had to drop the price. I dropped it tremendously, and taking a big loss. And even with that, I can't sell it. I can't even take a loss. Okay, it doesn't move. And there's no reason. The house is great. The location's great. I don't know. What? Can you help me? So Rav Zilberstein said to him, I don't know, but let me tell you a maysa that happened with me, and perhaps, you know, can help you a little bit. He says, I was once in a shul during the weekday. It was a Monday or Thursday. I was in the shul, having to be. And in that shul, they sell the aliyahs, okay? So the main aliyah to sell is usually shlishi, because, you know, Kohen Levi gets taken care of. And so they're selling shlishi. So the gabbai gets up at the bima, And he says, okay, we're selling shlishi now. Starts at 5 shekels. No, 5 shekels. 5 shekels. Quiet in the shul. Again, 5 shekels. Selling shlishi for 5. Anybody want to buy shlishi for 5 shekels? Nobody. So, Rav Zilberstein was there. He got very upset. He goes up to the bima. He claps on the bima. And he says, Rabosai. He says, that bizayin Torah. He says, what's going on over here? Nobody wants to buy aliyah for 5 shekels? He said, if there's a guy standing outside right now and announcing he's selling, you know, designer name shirts, you know, for 5 shekels, would everybody just jump up and run outside and grab, right? 5 shekels a shirt? Wow, great deal, right? And here, we're selling an aliyah, which is Baruch Hu. You're saying a bracha before, a bracha after, you know, Baruch Hu with 2 brachas attached to it. And nobody wants to buy it for 5 shekels? He says, what a bizayin. So he says, we see that the person has to, you know, has to give something, you know, to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Reminds me of once the person had an aliyah, so Nahug in different shuls, you know, they make a Misha Berach, and the person gives a donation. So the Gabbai is saying, Misha Berach, I was saying, you know, he says, and, you know, ask the guy for his donation. So he said, as some people say, he said, I'll give double chai. Chai is, of course, 18. So double chai, $36, whatever. He says, I'll give double chai. So the Gabbai turns to him and goes, ha, it would be better if he would have given half a mace. Right? Mace in Gematria is 440, which is $220, not just the 36. Which reminds me of another mace of the Gematria. Once the Satmar Rebbe, he approached this man for a donation. So the guy pulls out of his wallet, $47, and gives it to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe looks at him, he says, "Vus is dus, $47, like, what, you know, it's not chai, it's not double chai, it's not, what's $47? He says, well, Rebbe, says, I know your name is Rav Yol, right? So Yol in Gematria is 47, so that's why I want to, I gave you $47. So the Rebbe turns to him, he says, you don't understand. He says, here in America, they call me Yoilish, which is 356. Okay, anyways, so too, Rav said to this man who couldn't sell his house, he goes, who knows, I don't know, but maybe you were also, you know, offered to buy a mitzvah, to put some money out, you know, to afford a Hashem, to buy a mitzvah or something, and you were also not so quick to jump at it. So as a result, Mina Kenegan Mina, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not so quick in helping you sell your house either when it comes to your own personal needs. Perhaps. We find this inyan more specifically as it's blatant by the tzaddikim of each generation. Because who, our tzaddikim, our gedolim, put in tremendous, tremendous efforts in their avodas Hashem. And we see time and time again how they're given special siyata shemayim. Saw a great story not too long ago from Nachman Seltzer, and a true story, and which brings out this idea. It says, there's once a bacher who was learning in the yeshiva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's all, at MTJ, Masifta Tiferes Yerushalayim, in the Lower East Side. And he was chosen, he had the luck to be chosen as Rav Moshe's driver. So whenever Rav Moshe had to go to a simcha or to a convention to speak or whatever, he was the driver, Moshe's driver. So he would say, it's an unbelievable schus, you know, to drive around the Gadol Hador and, you know, Meshamishim and hear, you know, words of wisdom from him, etc. It was a wonderful experience. So he recalls, though, one particular day that he was approached and said, today Rav Moshe has to go to a certain meeting and with some other gedolim, so you'll be taking Rav Moshe and a couple of other gedolim as well to this certain place. So he says, oh, wonderful. So, fine. It was in the morning. He gets his car ready and picks up Rav Moshe and this other couple of gedolim, and he makes his way to this meeting. So he goes through Manhattan, and he had to, at a certain point, he had to change direction. He had to make a U-turn. He had to go back the other way. Fine, so whatever, he pulls out into a driveway, and then, you know, pulls out when his coast was clear to turn to go the other way. So as he's turning the wheel, he says, I'm turning the wheel. All of a sudden, the steering wheel comes off in my hand. I'm sitting there, he says, with the steering wheel in my hand. And I'm like, oh. And right smack in the middle of the you know, two-way direction, you know, of traffic. And I'm stuck. I mean, what can you do? You can't steer, you know. The steering wheel's out of my hand. And I'm speechless and shy. I don't know what to do. You're emotionally the other, you know, Dolan in the back seat there. And I'm sitting with the steering wheel in my hand. And what, of course, in Manhattan. You know, they're not the most patient drivers in the world. So they start honking, and yelling and screaming, and I'm stuck there. And so I, you know, I showed them the steering wheel. Like, you know, don't yell at me. It's not my fault. Look, I'm holding the steering wheel. But, okay, he said that helped for the first couple of drivers. But what about the long lineup behind them? They're honking and screaming, and I don't know what to do. So all of a sudden, Ramosha from the back says to me, asks me, what's going on? What's wrong? So he said, I was shocked. I just turned around, and I showed Ramosha the steering wheel in my hand. You know, this is what's wrong. What am I supposed to do? So Ramosha very calmly says to me, did you try putting it back in? Ah, good. No, I didn't. So I said, I took the steering wheel, and I put it, you know, lined it up, put it in the, you know, thing. Put it down and clicked in. I go, oh, wonderful. And I turn it there, clean the wheel, and I'm off on it all the way. No problem. Everything's good. Car is fine. Back to normal. And I take the Ramosha and everything's fine. Like, phew, you know, good thing I had a Ramosha with me in the back. You know, save the day. Okay, fine. So I didn't think too much of it. Okay, I put the steering wheel back and everything's good. So finished the, you know, that day, brought them home. Everything's fine. And that afternoon, I was back in yeshiva learning. And some guy comes up to me, says, there's somebody in the back that wants to speak to you. I said, no. So I go to the back of the base medrash, and I see a guy standing there, looks like an auto mechanic, you know, those dirty, you know, overalls or whatever. And he looked Jewish, but he looked like a mechanic, you know. And I said, you want me? And he says, yeah. I said, what can I do for you? He says, were you the guy that, you know, had the steering wheel come off in his hand and this morning and put it back on? And I said, oh, yeah, I guess, you know, word gets around. Yeah, it was me. He says, okay, good. Can you come with me for a minute? So he said, I started getting a little nervous, like, what does this guy want from me? You know, he goes, no, don't worry. Can you come with me for just a few minutes? He says, okay, fine. He says, I went with the mechanic. So we walk down the street, and we go to this, like, Mossach garage, you know, where they're working on the cars, fixing them or whatever. So we walk into the garage, and we walk to this area where there's a nice looking car, and he brings me over to that car, and he says, you see this automobile? I said, yeah. He says, well, this car has the exact same problem as you had this morning. The steering wheel came off. So he says, okay. So he says, so I want you to put it on like you did this morning to your car. So he said, well, he says, yeah, you mind doing that? He says, well, I don't know. He says, you know what? Not only that, if you put it on, you can keep the car. It's a present. You can put on the steering wheel back, you can keep the car. So I said, oh, yeah, sure. So he says, I got in the car, take the steering wheel, put it on. What is it? It's not budging. It doesn't go on. I'm working this way, I'm looking that way. 20 minutes, he says, I was working on a thing. I couldn't do it. So I get out of the car, and I told the mechanic, he said, sorry. He said, I tried, I can't, 20 minutes I work, I can't do it. He said, of course you can't do it. He said, you can't put back a steering wheel that comes off like that. It's impossible. Right? You need to replace the whole housing, whatever. You cannot, it's not derech hateva possible to take a steering wheel and just click it back in when it comes. You can't do it. I just wanted to show you. I just wanted to show you what happened to you this morning. You were basically zoicha to a nace, okay, because these things don't happen. So I just wanted you to realize that. So he says, I left there, wow, you know, I didn't think of it. I clicked in, you know, I didn't realize what had really happened. So that's years later. Ramosha was ready nifter by then. So this man, he happened to be was at a chasana, and he saw Ramosha's son, who himself was a Rashi. And he, when things, you know, quieted down a little bit, he saw in a free moment that he wasn't bothered, he walked over to him. Moshe's son, he said, introduced himself. He says, you know, I used to be your father's driver, you know, in his day. And I ask you, did he ever tell you about this Maisa with a steering wheel that came off? And did you ever hear of that Maisa? He goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. So he says, I can mind if I ask you a question? He said, how is it possible? How is it possible? The mechanic told me, Derech HaTeva, you can't do it. You can't put back a steering wheel that comes off. So how was I able to do it? So he said, you have to understand something he told me. He says, my father, Moshe, he was a tzaddik. He was a gadol dor, tzaddik ador. Okay? When a tzaddik says something, Kodesh Baruch Hu listens. Right? So, like we've been saying, right? Like the tzaddikim, they put in the effort that beyond, effort that's beyond us. Right? And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu responds beyond us. He is l'malam yedeach hateva, beyond nature. They act beyond nature, and Hashem responds beyond nature. I just heard the other day a story of Rabbi Yashiv, right, in our day and age, okay? So, he said, here's a man that's, you know, Admea Vesrim, or more, okay? He's already 100 years old, okay? And his grandsons are Meshamashim, because, you know, he's very old, or whatever, so he needs help. So his grandsons are Meshamashim. So he says, one of his grandsons was telling us, I heard this from Shlomo Levinstein, so his grandson was saying that he came his turn to Meshamash, his grandfather. He says, Mimele, people come, he says, come to me with names and stuff that I should give my grandfather to daven for them. He says, yeah, you know, I'm going to be with your grandfather. So he says, inevitably, he says, I can't give him the names to daven. He says, why? He says, you don't understand. He says, my grandfather wakes up. What time does he wake up? He wakes up at 2:30 in the morning. That's when he starts his day, his learning schedule. Okay, and this is a man, again, 100 years old, okay? 2:30 in the morning, wakes up. So I said, Saba, you know, why don't you sleep a little bit? It's very early in the morning. So he goes, no, I have to learn. Okay, so he gets up, whatever, and but since it's still early before Lasa Shachar, of course, middle of the night, so he has a little bit of mizonis, whatever, to keep, give him strength, whatever. So he says, you have no idea. He says he eats his mizonis, okay, he has his little drink, a little mizonis, to give him strength to start learning. And he says, he finishes the after bracha on the mizonis, Bruch Atah Hashem, Al Aretz V'Al Michya, and from that word, Al Aretz V'Al Michya, Tanu Rabbanan, right into the Gemara. Not a second from the end of the bracha to the starting of the Gemara, he says, a second doesn't elapse. He says, I can't ask him to, I have no time to ask him to daven for people. There's no stop. Again, a Yehudi at this age, okay, with that stamina, it's clearly a gift from Kodesh Baruch Hu because of his tremendous efforts he puts in. Speaking of stories with cars, saw a cute miser recently from of Chaim Kenevsky, Shlita. That there was this story goes back to the Tavshin Nun Gimel, 1993. There was a fellow, he bought a brand new car. Okay, he was all excited, you know, it was like, but he was a frum guy, and he figured that, you know, I want to, like, mekadesh the car, you know, brand new fancy guy, I wanted to start off on the right foot. So he decided, what is he going to do? He's going to, you know, mechanech the car by giving a ride to Rav Chaim Kenevsky. You know, to bring the shechina to the car, you know, I'm going to give Rav Chaim a ride that's going to get started on the right foot. So he approached Rav Chaim, he says, do you mind if I give you a ride in my brand new car, you know? So I said, give me a ride, okay, no care. So he said, fine. So he pulls up, you know, it's a fancy car, you know, he says, okay. So Rav Chaim comes down, opens the car, gets in, sits down next to him, and the man wants to start the car, won't start. It won't start. He says, what's going on here? Brand new car, you know, why isn't it start? Won't start. Rav Chaim's sitting there, you know, he also doesn't like to waste time. So the man understood. He goes, sorry, Rebbe, I don't know what's going on. A brand new car doesn't start. He says, okay, no, some other time, whatever. So Chaim gets out of the car, closes the door, about to walk away. Just as he, you know, leaves the car, the man again turns the ignition, and it starts. He goes, oh, Baruch Hashem. So he calls out, oh, Rebbe, okay, come in. So Chaim says, okay. So he turns around, gets back in, closes the thing, gets in the car, closes the door, stalls. Guy tries, won't start again. He says, I don't believe it. This is so embarrassing. He says, Sir Chaim says, no, okay, some other time. Gets out of the car, leaves it, closes the door. No sooner does he close the door, about to leave, it starts. He goes, Rebbe, okay, it's going now. Here we go again. She goes back into the car, sits down, closes the door, stalls. He goes, I don't believe it. Can't start it again. So that guy's like, I don't understand it. A new car. So Chaim said, let me ask you a question. He says, this is an expensive car. He says, whose car is this? He says, what do you mean, Rebbe? It's mine. You own it? Yeah. says, how did you get the money for this car? So he said, well, my son gave me the money. He's well off, and he gave me the money to buy this car. And so he says to him, and what does your son do for a living? So the man, like, you know, wants to, you know, slip under the chair or whatever. And he says, well, he actually lends money for interest. Ah, says Zarif Chaim. Okay, now we got the picture. Right, the car was fine, nice car, but when it's carrying a Sefer Torah, you know, it doesn't want to move. Okay, so that's again, sort of sagim that are beyond us, but that's the great gedolim that they put in the effort, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers. The other Maisa with speaking of Moshe Feinstein with his father of David Feinstein. Okay, in the end of the. At the end of this, at the First World War, the Polish army, they attacked this city where Rav David Feinstein, Rav Moshe's father, was. It's called Starobin, something like that. And they took Rav David as a captive, and they wanted ransom, whatever, and they captured him. So Rav Moshe, it was his father, you know, and Rav Michal Feinstein, Rav Moshe's nephew. He's the one that told this Maisa after Rav Moshe's Levaya, Hesped. So he said that we were there in the house and we were saying Tillum. He said, I was just a little boy, Rav Michal said, Rav Moshe, you know, is older than me. And we were sitting there saying Tillum for his father, you know, for David. So what had happened, the Goyim, they took the father, and immediately the Jews got together and they raised 140,000 rubles, tremendous amount of money, for ransom. And but they weren't happy with that. They wanted more, the Rishayim. So Rav David said, don't give it to him. Don't give in. I don't want you to, you know, start giving all this money. They're going to capture other people and stuff. So he said, don't give in. And even though he knew his life was at stake, very calmly, he says, don't give in to the Rishayim. And so, okay, fine. So they saw they weren't getting their money. So they said, okay, we're not getting our money. We're going to take you into the forest and kill you. He says, do what you want. I'm not gonna have them give the money. Fine. So they take him out to the forest, and all of a sudden they said to him, you know what, I'll tell you what, we'll give you a break. We'll let you free. All you have to do is repeat some words. We're going to say some words in our language, which you don't understand, obviously, our language, and just repeat after us and we'll let you go free. So David said, nothing doing. He says, because I'm not going to say words which I don't know what they mean. As it could be, there's apikorsis, you know, things. So I'm not going to say things like that unless I know what they were. And he says, I don't care. You can kill me, but I'm not repeating words that I don't know what. And what happened? Miraculously, they just let him go. Let him go. That was it. No one understood how, what, why. Here, just let him go. Once again, Akash Baruch Hu acting with these the great people who act l'malami ateva and act with them l'malami. I'd like to just conclude one last te'ara from the Parsha later on. Brings out this idea of also Mida Keneged Mida. Says that the Pasuk says, after the flood, right, the Noach is with the sons, starting the new world, and Noach builds, plants a kerem, he gets drunk, as we know, and his sons find him drunk in the tent. Cham goes in, comes out, tells his brothers, and then Shem and Yefet come in with a talis, they walk, and backwards they cover their father's nakedness, etc. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayikach Shem VeYefet. So Rashi says, Einksi VeYikhu. It should say, then they took. Shem and Yefet took the coat to cover their father. Then it says, Vayikach, singular. Elavikach Limed Al Shem Shenit Amet B'mitzvah Yoser MiYefet. It's to teach us that Shem, he put in more effort than Yefet in the mitzvah. Lekach Zachu Banav Letalis shel tzitzis, so he got a reward, and the talis shel tzitzis that the Yudim got, that we came from shame, was in schus of this act of shame that he was misames in the mitzvah. The Yefet zachal kvura, but Yefet was also not like Cham; he did also cover his father, but he was zochet to that his descendants will be zochet to burial in the time of the Acharis Hayamim to come in the milchama of Gog u'Magog. Okay. So Rav Zalman Sarutskin, that's all, he said, what's the connection between, where's the Mida Keneged Mida over here, between getting tzitzis and kvura and covering the father? So he says, Lagabi the tzitzis. He says, why tzitzis? Well, because if they give up, they're getting a bracha, they're going to have tzitzis. That means they're going to have garments. Because you can't have tzitzis without a garment to put it on. So Mela, they're rewarded with will have garments in the future in skus of the fact that Shem covered his father's nakedness with a garment. Fine. And Yefet, Kfura, is the same idea. What is Kfura? That the body gets covered with dirt. So too, since he covered his father's body, so it'll be Zocha. However, Bederach HaMusar, he says, we see something else. And that is, it says that shame, he was misames more. In other words, he did this mitzvah, by him it was a live mitzvah. He made this mitzvah live. He put in his effort, it was a mitzvah chaya, a live mitzvah. And he was mizaris, so as a result, what was his reward? A live mitzvah. A mitzvah that a person has when he's alive, wearing tzitzis, whatever. And he was zoicher that, since he dealt with the mitzvah in a live way. Whereas Yefet, what did he do? He just went along. Oh, okay, cover, yeah, I'm seder, I'll help you, whatever. He did it like habitually. He did the mitzvah without excitement. He treated it like a mitzvah mesa, like a dead mitzvah. And as a result, what is his reward? He got rewarded, but what was his reward? Dead, when he's a kfura, which is not a mitzvah you can enjoy in your lifetime. It's a mitzvah you can enjoy. And not only that, since shame was mizaris, when did the mitzvah start? Already 2,000-3,000 years ago by Matan Torah. Whereas the reward of Yefet is only going to be, still we didn't have, it's going to be in the future, not Choris Yamim, but Taimon Gogu Magu. Since he was doing it with not so much excitement, not so much enthusiasm, not so much Zrizus, so his reward later on. Shame, who did it with Zrizus, he got a live reward, and the reward quickly didn't have to wait thousands of years. So Zat Hashem, that's our lesson of this week's Parsha. We have to remember, Akash Baruch Hu deals on Mina Keneged Mina. We have to put our efforts, make all our mitzvahs alive, do it with excitement, and Zat Hashem, if we do it in that way and put in the effort, Akash Baruch Hu likewise will Mina Keneged Mina help us in all types of wonderful ways, Lamala Miyateva, and the Bizoicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhir, Bimhir.